I'm delighted to be back at Blessed Hope Baptist Church again. I think sometimes there are a lot of folks who have the idea that if you're going to have a great church, you've got to be in a metropolis somewhere where there are people standing on every street corner. But you folks have proved for a long, long time you can do great things even in what would be called small town America, rural America, what some of the idiots in this country call flyover country. You've heard that, haven't you? Oh, yeah, yeah. There are certain liberal elements in this country that they invented the term. I didn't invent it. They invented the term. And basically, their theory on that is the only thing that matters is New York, Philadelphia on that coast, and Los Angeles, San Francisco on the other coast, and everything else is only good to fly over. That's the theory. I didn't invent that. That came right out of the presidential election of 2004, and so, you know, there are people in the country who don't like us. You know that they don't like us, and they think because, as Brother Ross has just said, because that we hold very closely and very strongly to the Bible and to the old paths and to the faith, that we are just nobodies, that it doesn't matter. And so they think that the only thing that they would want to do, they wouldn't want to drive through, they just want to fly over. Now, that's pretty sick. It's pretty sick. And the fact is that out across America, In areas like Jasonville and Linton and Sullivan and Vincennes, and there are people like us that are just continuing to do what we ought to do. And so you don't have to be in Los Angeles or some other great metropolitan area to do an outstanding work for the Lord. The project that Brother Ross mentioned just a minute ago, your effort to D.C. on Memorial Day weekend, and I remember from last year hearing about that, you might think, well, you know, some big city church will take on those kinds of things, and maybe they will do something. But you've dreamed a dream from here to have an impact on the area there around the Puzzle Palace on the Potomac. And so... Anyway, I didn't mean to get off into all that, but somehow or other it just kind of happened. And so I'm delighted, though. I look forward to coming. I've had, in fact, I had my birthday this week, too. Well, comes about the same time every year. Amazing. And actually, mine was on Monday, on the 4th. But I have two problems. One, I'm spoiled. And the other is, I don't deny it. And I don't have to have all of this stuff and fluff that goes with birthdays to be a happy camper. I try to get up and be happy every day. But when birthday times come around and everybody, you know, your family and the folks who work at the Sword and everybody's so nice to you, I've really been kind of stretching it out, to tell you the truth. And really, I'm going to start some kind of a campaign, not just for birthdays, but for birth weeks. I think that would be much better. And so I managed to stretch about all the way to yesterday. And so I got a little late start coming up here, because some of the family wanted to do some things. And so I came up and stopped in Vincennes last night. And could have come on up, but, you know, when you drive 3 or 4 hours, sometimes it's just good to go ahead and stop. And so I did that, and I didn't want to get somebody out late to let me in over here anyway. So anyway, make work all that out. And you know, sometimes your timing can just be wonderful. I checked in a hotel, motel down at Vincennes, and when I was checking in, the fellow said to me, he said, I'd like for you to sign this waiver on the noise. Now, I have never had anybody ask me to sign a noise waiver. And I said, the noise waiver? He said, yeah. He said, we have a party going on around the pool. And he said it'll last till 11:30. Well, I can handle that. Now, what he didn't tell me was my room was right against the pool. And what he didn't tell me was that the band from the door of my room, and I'm going to give it plenty of room, it was less than 20 feet. I mean, closer from here to that door where the band was sitting. And it was one where they had a big amp and stuff. I mean, oh, boom, 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 boom. I mean, and without let up. And he had told me 11:30. They shut down at 12:30. And nonstop. In fact, I even went to sleep with some of that going on. I mean, it's totally predictable. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, just over and over and over again. And but then the party didn't stop till 2. I was telling Betty as I was talking to her on the way from Vincennes to here this morning, I said, for just a little while last night, for a few hours, I got a real close-up look at how the other half lives. And it makes you sick.
Amen.
I saw and heard things last night that I would not repeat from this pulpit. And a lot of young people, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years of age, and others, just unbelievable wickedness. And it's just sad. But we know it goes on. Goes on in everybody's town. But just once in a while, we get close enough to it to really see it, smell it, taste it. And it is not where we need to live.
Amen.
Betty reminded me, you may remember that old song, "Thank God I Don't Live Here Anymore." I said, well, thank God I never did live there. Amen. But we can be grateful that the Lord has spared us in some cases. And in other cases, he salvaged us from that. And I'm grateful. But it was kind of a strange night in that regard. Okay, I am going to read the text, and I'm going to give you some things. I apologize right up front. I did not get here with books. We had them boxed and ready, but with all of the doings yesterday, I forgot to put them in the car. On Friday, the lady who works in my office, who it is her responsibility to keep me reminded of such things right on schedule. I'd like to tell you it was her fault, but it wasn't. Right on schedule on Friday, about 2 o'clock, she said, may I have the keys to your car, and I'll get the guys to load the books. And I said, oh, I have it at the over at Jennings, getting the oil changed and the new wiper blades I needed on. I said, I've got it over getting it serviced. And she said, oh, okay. Well, I didn't go get it. And we had our staff banquet on Friday night, and we were all in the stir about that. So she left at 4 o'clock, and somebody took me over to pick my car up. I didn't even think about it again. And so I got 100 miles this way before it dawned on me. I left the boxes of books, and I apologize for that. But here's what I'm going to do. We have, in preparation for Christmas, a 2-for-1 deal on sword subscriptions. If you sign up for yourself and somebody else for the sword, $15 is what we, $15 to get the sword all year is an unbelievable deal anyway.
Amen.
But if you sign up for yourself and somebody else, we'll do both of them for $15. And if you will do that while I'm here today or tonight, I will mail you a copy of the new 2007 sword calendar, which has a Holy Land motif this year. And if you haven't seen the sword calendars, I think you will like them. We have made a point to provide some very, very special things on those calendars every year. And this one has an Israel motif with beautiful pictures and other things that I think you'll like. And I will give you one of those along with the 2-for-1 deal just for signing up. And part of my apology for not getting stuff here. So maybe a pastor... any kind of an envelope that you got, are there envelopes on the back of the pews of any kind? Okay, take any kind of an envelope and do that, and anytime today, and just hand it to me, and we will mail you a 2007 calendar promptly. All right? All right, turn with me, please, to James chapter 5. Now, some of you hear our broadcast once in a while, and I spent some time this fall working through James chapter 5, and out of that, I found some things that I've been using. Sometimes I get things out of my preaching that I take to the radio, and other times I get things out of my radio preaching and teaching that I take to the pulpit. And other times I just get stuff and take it both places. So one of my guys that works with me said, when do you study for preaching? I said, all the time. You know, all the time. So James chapter 5, and let me show you where I'm going. And before I read it, let me set it up just a little bit, so bring you up to speed on what we're reading here. I want to read verses 7, 8, and following. And that's the passage that says, be patient to the coming of the Lord. Now, here's where this all sets in context. If you turn back to chapter 4, the question is asked at the beginning of the chapter, from whence come wars and fightings among you? You say, well, I don't want to have struggle among us. Well, read on. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? So inside of you there are wars, struggles. And verse 4 talks about, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? So, you know, that and some other verses there show the following things. Number one, we do have our own struggles. I read a piece yesterday that will go in the sword sometime soon by an old preacher named I.M. Haldeman he titled it The Two Natures. And he made a easy to read and understand explanation of why it is that after you're saved, 2 weeks down the way, 2 months down the way, you may be disappointed with yourself that you haven't done all that a Christian ought to do. And he makes clear the case that there are two natures, and when you come to Christ, you get the second nature. But the old nature doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. And so you say, well, why do I have all this struggle in me? Well, because you still have that old nature in there. Now, you say, okay, that helps me to understand me, but what about these other sorry folks who claim to be Christians? Now, I make the point here because all of us must be careful when we have grown a little bit in our Christian faith. We have to be careful that we don't become so spiritually superior in thinking that we've done so well. And thank God when we do make some progress and when we do well. But let's be careful that we don't become a spiritually superior person in our spirit and mind, because we've got other folks who come to church here at Blessed Hope who are just not quite getting it like I got it. You understand what I'm saying? It's like going to school and you got folks here that are about ready to graduate, 11th and 12th graders. And I'm sure it would never happen here, but if you get to 11th and 12th grade and you look down on those freshmen, say, if you were as smart as I am, you'd be graduating this year too. Now, sometimes Christians get to feeling so good about themselves because they've kind of achieved, but they get impatient. And they get to looking at some of these other folks who are still in a major struggle. And so we ask ourselves, why do we have those struggles in us? Well, okay, we've got that one kind of figured. We still have some struggles. But these other folks are having their struggles, and they're bringing them to where we are. And so then, according to chapter 4, verse 1, we have struggles among us. Now, I thought this was going to be fun to be a Christian. Amen. And all at once, I got these struggles I'm having to deal with. And you know, well, I tell you, Pastor, some of those folks you got coming over there to church, they're just not being a blessing to me like they ought to be. And I don't know, I may just pack up and stay at home or something. Now, be careful. It's never right to let somebody else's carnalities dictate policy and practice to you about your own spiritual walk. Oh, but I got disappointed. Don't let that disappointment drive you. Say, well, I was hoping that by now, such and such. Don't let your disappointments drive you. If you do, you're going to make some bad mistakes. And you say, well, it's only me. No, it's not only you. Because you have other people around you that you love. And if you make bad choices, and if you go on the skid spiritually, and if you start making a bunch of superficial decisions that are not good, I promise you, it may have a little impact on you, but it'll have a big impact on those people that are closest to you. And some of them may not be able to handle it nearly as well as you do. I mean, this week it gets sticky in a hurry if we start getting off track. So the book of James describes the three things: the struggle we have within us, the struggle among us, the brethren and sistren, and then it also talks about our struggles out in the world. This whole world is just slap dab crazy. It's doing a lot of things. Oh, my soul. I mean, I think about the little scenario I just described to you that I had to endure for a few hours last night. And I'm saying, do those young people, do they have parents who know where they are and what they're doing? Some of them probably do, and they don't care. Some of them probably have slipped off, and their parents don't have any idea where they're at. And other such things. Now, we have our struggles with the world. The world wants to abort babies. By the way, we're making progress, you know, kind of beyond the abortion scenario. Now then, there's a movement starting to get a little traction under its feet, primarily in the universities in this country, but slipping over into the medical profession, where we have people now actually starting to say, well, we've gotten over this deal about aborting the babies, but now if you have a baby, and I'll give you the reference on this, there's a professor at Princeton University named Peter Singer, S-I-N-G-E-R, who has written a book, and he is the leading spokesperson in America for this. He says if you have a baby, you ought to have 30 days after you get it to decide whether you like it or not. And if you have any reason at the end of 30 days or before that for not liking it, send it back. They will exterminate it for you. You say, couldn't be. Hey, we've had 43 years now since 1973. How many years has that been? Whatever it is. 30. Whatever it is, 33 years. I really struggled with math. But for 33 years, more than 1 million unborns a year have been chopped up, diced up, sliced up in the womb. And we've said, oh, that's okay. Now then, we have these advocates. We're starting to make this case for the already born ones. They get that in place, even if you get a 3-day window. And what you know, 10 years down the road, they'll say, we need to stretch that to, let's say, 2 years. There's another scenario that's going on in the country. You get old enough, Your quality of life goes downhill. And by the way, this is a huge deal in America, where they're making decisions about the old people. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And I just went through a deal with my dad in September. And we had a very good doctor, and I do not think that he is a bad guy, but I think he's been influenced a little bit by this philosophy. He told us, he said, about my dad, he said 2 to 4 weeks is the most he can live without having his aorta valve replaced. 2 to 4 weeks. I looked at him in the presence of my dad, and I said, what do you recommend? He said, I don't recommend you do it. I said, and why not? He said, because I don't want to kill him on the operating table. And he said he's got less than a 50% chance of coming off that operating table alive. And I said, but Doc, I said, you just told us 2 to 4 weeks and he's dead. I said, you're the only, by the way, Dad's 84. He's kind of a young 84, but he's 84. And I said, but you just told us the only chance we've got to keep him is for you to do the work. And he acknowledged. And so, you know, Dad made the decision to go with the only chance that he had. And here we are almost 3 months past that, and he has survived, amen. Now, it would have been very easy in that scenario. One of Dad's close friends in the hospital the same time, one floor up, didn't have somebody to advocate for him. I went up to see him because I've known him for years. And his wife just shook her head and she said, well, she said, there's not a lot they can do for him. And they basically just quit. Now, that's going on all over the place. Now, you say, what's going on? We live in a world where a lot of crazy things are being decided. A lot of crazy things. So we got struggles in us, struggles sometimes among our brothers, struggles out in the world. And here's the point, and I've taken too long to get to this, but here we are. Be patient, verse 7 says, unto the brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, I read all of the things about the first coming of Christ, and I have an expression. I mean, you think about the virgin birth, you think about everything that is going into the story that'll be recited here during the Christmas season, and with great emphasis and great delight. And I look at it, the deaf folks have a word for it, and it's like this: wow, you know, W. O-W. You get that? You know sign language? Now you do. That's W-O-W. And their wow word is like that. Now I think about all of the things related to the first coming of Christ, and I say, wow. But folks, the second coming is a wow with another wow. I mean, you're talking about a double wow. He says, be patient unto the coming, talking about the second coming of the Lord. And here he illustrates it like this. Behold, the husbandman, like a farmer, waits for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Now, what happens? You plant the seed. You hope there'll be some soft, gentle rains. You know, after those seeds go in the ground. And as you head long toward harvest, you hope those latter rains will come that will provide the needed moisture to give that crop. I mean, once everything is up and growing, it needs some of that latter rain to give it some oomph. So it'll go ahead and blossom out and produce the fruit, corn, whatever it is. And so he says, just like that farmer is patient. He plants and he waits and the rains come and he waits and he cultivates and then the other rains come and then there's the harvest. He said, so be, verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, look at that. Be patient, he says. Don't cave in because you've got struggles going on inside you. Don't cave in. Don't quit. Don't you say, well, I listen to Brother Ross preach and I know that he's right, but I did something I shouldn't have done, and I know I'm not a very good member, and so I'm going to sit at home for the next 3 months. Don't do that. You may have those struggles, but you be patient. Second instruction is establish your heart, because the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And the fact is, when the Lord shows up second time, it will be worth it all. Amen? It will be worth it all. That's what this is saying. And you say, well, it's not me so much, but it's the folks among the brethren where I have some struggle with somebody inside the church. Don't let that happen to you. You say, well, I didn't want it to. No, I don't mean the struggle can happen. It may happen. But when it does, don't you let it throw you off course. Don't lose sight. Man, I get so... It's beyond the fret stage. I mean, I get so nauseated at all of this garbage that is flooding our society, and things that I deal with and you have to deal with. I mean, we get so fed up and we say, "Oh, come on!" I mean, you know, the homosexual marriage thing, and I mean, just on and on and on the list goes. And we're saying, what's the deal with these folks? Now, what the Bible is saying to us is, you be patient. Now, you say, okay, I'm going to just sit out over here and shut up and say nothing, and I'm just going to sit. No. Being patient doesn't mean we sit down and take it. It means that we do what we've been ordered to do on schedule. It means that we stay propped up. It means we stay fired up. It means, hey, we may have the folks who howl at us. We may have all of that. But we say we will do what we're supposed to do, and we're going to do it because we have our eyes on the sky looking for the second coming of Christ. And you say, well, man, that's hard. It's hard to take that when you live in a world where all this stuff is going on. That's the reason this next little piece says, establish your hearts. Establish your heart. You know, for me, that means building a fence around my heart. Building a fence around. I build a scriptural fence around. Find out where God says don't and don't. Amen. Find out where God says do and do. And don't let stuff inside your fence. Just don't let it inside your fence. You know? Certain things at your house, you say, well, all of our neighbors do that. And yeah, they may, but we don't. That little third of an acre that Betty and I occupy, there's just some stuff that, I'm sorry, it may be grandma or whoever, but no, we're not going to do it there. Okay. Just not going to happen there. So, now, you say, well, the coming of the Lord draws nigh. I've heard that. You know, I heard this Brother Ross say it, and I've heard that Brother Ross say it, and you guys come in, and I hear you all say it, but you know, we haven't seen anything happen yet. Well, there are the doubters, and, you know, 2 Peter chapter 3 says and I'm looking for the verse, I'd written down, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You know, you hear people say that. You folks, you know, you're out there in flyover country, you know, you're just a bunch of Bible thumpers, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, literally, they come at us very hard. Well, here's the answer on that. Verse 5 says, For this they willingly are ignorant of. You say, but the guy's got a PhD. He's ignorant.
Amen.
They willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, etc. You say, the heavens were of old? Yeah, that's a part of their problem too. You see, if they ever once kind of sign on with us, they'd have to toss their evolution out the window. And the reason they don't toss their evolution out the window is, if they ever admitted we were created, that means there's a creator. And if he created the earth, he might just have written a book that's got some stuff in it they need to pay attention to. So you got the doubters. Verse 8 and 9 of that passage says, Beloved, that's us, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Say, what's the matter? Can't the Lord keep time? Oh, yeah, he can keep time. He's just telling you, because the calendar runs off 1,000 years, it don't mean anything. Don't mean a thing. That's no bigger deal with the Lord than passing one day in your life. Verse 9, he says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we do have the doubters. We do have the folks, like in 2 Thessalonians 3, who thought, Oh, if the Lord's going to come back, man, I'm going to quit my job. You know, I'm just going to sit and have a good time, sit under the shade tree and drink lemonade. Well, they like they'd probably hot chocolate. You know. But you had those folks in Thessalonica, you know, that said, Hey, if the Lord's coming back, what's the use of us working? We don't going to pay our rent. And the instruction there is, you get busy, get to work, and if you don't work, you don't eat. So we don't just sit down and say, Well, the Lord's going to come back, and I'm going to sit here and wait. I'd let all those other people die and go to hell if they will. No. We have a job to do. We have a job to do. And the instructions, you know, you might want to read 1 Thessalonians chapters 4 and 5, because he says, you know, no need that I write to you about the times and the seasons, brethren. You know perfectly well the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And so you say, what are we saying here? Well, we got all this stuff to deal with, but you be patient. You be patient. Stay on track. Keep at it. Keep your own heart established, warm, excited, stirred up, and keep looking for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Or put another way, keep both hands on the plow and keep an eye on the sky. Amen. Be patient, brethren, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh.